Light the candle, tiger!
A warm Wednesday welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, and I'm delighted to say in the studio for the first time, Steve Palmer and Joe Champion is back as well. We're going to look back on an emotional weekend, lots of tears, not so much for punting because they weren't easy to find, but two great stories from the winners of last weekend's tournaments. But more importantly, we're going to try and arm you with winners for the upcoming events in Ireland and America. So first of all, Steve, what do you reckon to the studio? You've always been doing it from the shed, haven't you?
Yeah. Actually, I had to put some pants on today. I mean, normally I'm naked from the waist down when I do the pod. Yeah, I like to just relax. But today, obviously, coming up on the train, I had to make the effort.
Yeah.
No, very impressed, very impressed.
Good, excellent. It's nice to see you. Joe, all well? You've been to Glastonbury, haven't you?
Yeah, great. I probably won't be much use talking about this last weekend, but...
Fair enough. Is that a tan or dirt?
A bit of both now. Yeah. I've had a couple of showers since then.
So yeah, I had to pick my son up from Fleet Services on the way back. And honestly, it was crazy watching these dishevelled people stumbling back into society. But I'm sure you had a great time. Steve, did you have a great time on the punting last week? It wasn't easy, was it?
No. Didn't get the winners. Jorge Campillo finished 15th. Hideki Matsuyama finished 11th. So not close enough to get any returns. But
sometimes things happen that override betting, don't they? I thought they were both really nice stories, weren't they? First of all, we had a bid. Is he Bezidenhout?
Christian Bezidenhout.
He won at Valderrama, and that was a lovely story. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, well, he suffered as a youngster. He went to drink what he thought was some Coca-Cola, and it was actually some rat poison. And unfortunately, that created...
That's definitely Coca-Cola, isn't it?
That's definitely Coca-Cola, yep. I'm addicted to Diet Coke. But yeah, he had some rat poison, and that really messed him up, as you can imagine. He ended up developing a really bad stutter because of it. And then he developed really bad anxiety because of his stutter. So he had a very, very terrible childhood, really. And he took some sort of beta blockers to help with the anxiety of the stutter. And then they banned him from playing golf on the Sunshine Tour because it was an illegal substance. He supposedly calmed himself down. So all very unsavoury. Got back on the circuit, won on the Sunshine Tour, and has now won on the European Tour. And in fine style. You know, John Rahm breathing down your neck. And rappelled him, one by six shots. Delighted for Christian Bezidenhout. That was a real feel-good story. His interview afterwards, I mean, you're struggling to hold back the tears there.
Yeah, I must admit, I thought the interviewer did a terrible job on it. He completely swallowed one of his questions. He could have got a lot more out of him. You're right, it was absolutely lovely. Just in terms of golf with Bezidenhout, is he someone who can go on from this, or is he one of those ones who pops up and wins and then goes back into the chorus line?
No, I think he can go on from this. He was on my radar last week. He was 80-1. He's very accurate. He likes courses like Valderrama where he can plot his way around. He's not a huge hitter. I think he can go far. I think this could be the start of big things. I'm very angry with myself for missing out on him last week, but there were just others I prefer.
So many, isn't it? You can't tip them all, can you?
You can't tip them all. And then if you thought that was a feel-good story... Wow.
I suppose you were watching the Chemical Brothers or someone. Who was on Sunday? It was The Cure, wasn't it?
The Cure, yeah.
Did you enjoy The Cure?
I did, yeah. Oh, I like The Cure.
Oh, you like The Cure? Yeah. No, I thought they were a bit dull. Yeah, I only caught 5 minutes of it. But
let's talk about Nate Lashley.
Let's talk about Nate Lashley, which is definitely not dull. I mean, this boy, you know, if Bezidenhout had a difficult upbringing, Lashley's just knocks it out of the park. As a junior, he was playing in a prestigious junior tournament. His parents came to watch him and his girlfriend. And they took a plane back, and that was the last you saw of him. The plane crashed. His father was driving the plane, a small plane, bad weather, perished. And then he's got to deal with that and try and progress his career. His career massively stalled, completely understandable. It's not something you go over in a flash, but he's battled his way back. He won on the web.com tour in 2017, and now he's a US Tour champion. I was thrilled for Nate Lashley.
Amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah,
what
wonderful.
A story.
Wonder, and you just hope that he can enjoy it. I watched his press conference afterwards, and in his eyes, you can still see the pain in the back of his eyes. You know, everyone's saying, "Oh, you've won a PGA Tour event," and he's like, "Well, woohoo!"
Yeah, but brilliant.
I've lost my parents and my girlfriend. Yeah, he's still never over it. But yeah, delighted that he held himself together because he had his sister came over to.
I know.
Get it in for that final.
It was lovely,
round.
Wasn't it?
You know, and he knew about that. Like, I always think that puts an extra layer of pressure on you. They all come to see you win. You know, you've got the big lead, but he could have easily blown it. But fortunately, no one put him under any pressure.
Whereas Bezidenhout's family flew in, but they hid, didn't they, on the way round? He didn't know they were there until
really?
He won.
I
yeah,
didn't
did
know
you
that.
Not?
Oh,
yeah,
they hid
no.
From me as well. Yeah, that was fantastic.
No, that was lovely.
That's
wasn't
the way
it?
To do it, I think. Yeah,
the
but
only
yeah,
slight moment of sort of. The only light moment in among all the emotion of Lashley's win is that his current girlfriend is called Ashley. So if he proposes to her, she's got a decision to make. Does she want to be Ashley Lashley?
I think she should, yeah. I'd like to be Ashley Lashley.
That's quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
I rate that. But, I mean, again, he's done it well, and this may not be a flash in the pan.
Never in any doubt. And, again, like Bazin, that very accurate player, putts well. You know, there's the future's bright for both of them, you know. But they're very difficult to get. I mean, as punters, on a Monday, when I analysed the tournament...
Well,
he wasn't even in the tournament then, was he? And nor was the fellow that finished second. Doc Redman finished second.
Who?
Doc Redman was a Monday qualifier. He was runner-up in the Rocket Mortgage.
Sounds like some sort of supervillain, doesn't it?
Doc Redman. He finished second. So he's a Monday qualifier. So you're sitting down on a Monday to analyse the golf tournament. Doc Redman's not in the field. Nate Lashley's not in the field. They finished first and second. Lashley gets in on the Wednesday as an alternate. I think he was introduced about 100-1. So it's a tough game we're in, but you must take the rough with the smooth. I'm not getting on my high horse here. I'm not complaining, because obviously you get a lot of situations where one of the market leaders will pull out, you know, and your bets are already on, and then you don't have a rule four in golf. So I think normally it works in favour of the punters in that.
You've got to take the rough with the smooth.
Absolutely.
I suppose slightly more gettable, Steve, was the US seniors winner, wasn't it? Stricker.
Oh, Stricker won that, did he? I don't want that. No, I haven't got time for that. I mean, you devote 4 days out of seven, you devote your life to watching all the propaganda. No, I leave that to Chappers. And do you like the round bellies, Joe?
Not for me, really.
I thought my man David Toms was going to win. He played very well indeed.
Did he? Yeah.
No, right, that was cool. Then. Joe, you haven't got anything to contribute to this segment.
Not particularly.
Golf's not very big down there. I saw they were playing the Women's World Cup on the big screen, but I don't suppose they showed the Andalusia Masters.
No, I did ask, but...
I don't get started on Women's World Cup. He's not recovered from his ganja. I've not recovered from the Women's World Cup. I can't believe how emotionally invested I got in that.
Yeah, that was...
Last night, I was just in pieces. And VAR, I mean, yeah, this is probably going to be the longest podcast we've ever done if we start on VAR, because I know you feel like me. But VAR just ruined it last night. I made a right fool of myself. That looks so onside, didn't it?
I've said my piece.
You said your piece. Well, I haven't said my piece.
Okay.
That before VAR came along, that goal would have been given like 10 times out of 10, wouldn't it? It just looked so onside.
But it wouldn't have been a pen, I suppose, would it?
Well, no, it wouldn't be a pen, but we wouldn't have needed that. It would have been level pegging, and we would have been... Well, we'd probably have lost an extra time. Anyway, this is a golf podcast. It's not a football podcast.
And we're about to serve up some winners. Go on.
I'd like to talk about Adrianus. Adrianus, you know, I'm a big fan of Adrianus. Played alongside Sergio Garcia at Valderrama for the final 36 holes. Garcia, the king of Valderrama. Arnus played alongside him for those two rounds and beat him by a shot. Tied second in the tournament. I think Adrianus is just clearly going places. So he was the one to take from that.
How do you sort of... Is that his first name and his second name?
Adrianus.
Where's the gap?
Adrianus.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. And then Rocket Mortgage Classic, Doc Redman. I know he's got a funny name, but he looks good. He's
really?
only 21, 2017 US Amateur Champion, been playing well on the Canadian Tour. I think Doc Redman is one to
two takeouts.
Well. Two takeouts.
Right then, let's start our previews with the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open taking place in Lahinch. It's the start of the three domestic opens, well, not domestic, but nearby opens, Irish, Scottish, and of course, the Open. We're not allowed to call it the British Open.
Our Open.
Which is also back in Northern Ireland this year, isn't it?
Absolutely, Royal Portrush, yeah.
Okay, so we're at Lahinch, which is meant to be a very nice links course in County Clare. I'm going to set us off with a set of prices from Star Sports, who go a fifth the six places. These are indicative. Other prices are out there, but if you want to have a bet with Star Sports, you can get 8-1 Big Johnny Rahm, 12-1 Tommy Fleetwood, 14 Matt Wallace, 16 Shane Lowry, 18 Louis Oosthuizen, 25-1 Tyrrell Hatton, and 28 Bar. So it's a decent field. Joe, you've been very quiet, so I'm going to let you go first here. Who is your number one tip for the Irish Open?
My number one tip is Danny Willett. You know, he hasn't played a regulation European Tour event since winning the World Tour Championship at the end of November. He's been earning his money on the PGA Tour, and in recent weeks he's been in great form. I mean, he's
back, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very much back. His last three PGA Tour finishes tied 27th at the Memorial, 8th at the Canadian Open, and then tied 12th at the US Open, probably the best of the lot. And safe to say that while this is a good field, it's not going to be as tough as that was. So, and he's got great Irish Open form as well. He was 6th last year at Ballyliffin, and I think he's had 4 top 10s from his last 6 Irish Open appearances. He loves links golf, and that's what you're going to need around here. It's a proper links test, Lahinch. Like old school Tom Morris designed, old Tom Morris design even. And they haven't really changed it massively since then. So, yeah, proper old school links test that will suit Willett down to the ground. He's finally back playing with confidence, and I think he's a one of the men to beat here, and he should probably be a bit shorter in the market.
Okay, so he is 28-1, Danny Willett. Steve, before you tell us your number one tip, I always think with links courses, it's so weather dependent. If it's calm, they rip it to shreds. If it's moderate, they can do okay. And if it's hard, then the fun really starts. So what are we expecting?
Well, it's quite a benign weather forecast. Yeah, a little bit of breeze Thursday afternoon, a little bit of breeze Sunday afternoon, but largely very, very flat, calm. And I think it'll be a very low scoring week. It's a classic links, but it's not particularly long. 7,036 yards. It's open and exposed. It's known as the St Andrews of Ireland. And St Andrews on a calm day is easy, and St Andrews on a windy day is very hard. So yeah, you're right. It's similar with La Hinch. I think Danny Willett is a good tip, by the way. Very, very close to my staking plan. It was only jet lag that put me off. I mean, I just went for players that are a bit more locally based. He now lives in Florida, so he's had a long trip. But there's very few holes you can put in the Willett case. But my number one selection is Tyrrell Hatton. Another Englishman.
I remember you referring to him in copy as the annoying little man.
Well, he has got an interesting approach to the game, hasn't he? But he can be as annoying as he wants this week if he gets the job done. You know, he's feisty. Let's spin it in a positive fashion. He's feisty, he's competitive, he's got the desire. So this week he's my best friend. And you talk about the St Andrews of Ireland. His record at the real St Andrews is fantastic. He almost completed the Dunhill Championship hat trick last year. Form figures of 1-1-2 in the Dunhill. His links form generally is amazing. Fourth in the 2014 Scottish Open, second in the 2016 Scottish Open, fourth in the 2015 Irish Open, fifth in the 2016 Our Open. Put him on a links course. Tyrrell Hatton normally does the business, and particularly on a straightforward links. I love Hatton on a straightforward links, like St Andrews in calm weather, like La Hinch in calm weather, because he typically is a supreme putter. He's getting frustrated this year because he's not holding his usual amount. He's not holding his fair share lately, but the tide will turn. Hatton traditionally is a superb putter. I see him making merry on this course. He's starting to come back into form. Played well in the match play at the end of March, came through his group. Lost to the eventual finalist, Matt Kuchar. Been swinging well. He's eighth at Colonial in May. And last time out in the US Open, he closed with a pair of 69s. Only Brooks Koepka outscored him over the weekend of the US Open. Hatton finished 21st. So, yeah, I think Hatton is made for this course and is rounding nicely into form for it.
Lovely stuff. Joe, who are you going to augment Willett with?
I'm going to go for Erik van Rooyen, who looks like a European Tour winner waiting to happen. I mean, he's been knocking on the door, and he's shown himself to be particularly strong in links events as well, or on tracks that are kind of links-like in their layouts, and that included a second in Qatar, and he's also finished. You know, he's got a few top tens to his name this year, and was eighth in the USPGA as well in a higher quality field. He's been playing mainly in. He's played quite a few events elsewhere, but played in the BMW International and finished with a 67 to finish in the top 20. Played really well that week, and I mainly like his form on links tracks. He was tied fourth on debut in the Irish Open last year, and then 2 weeks later he went even better, really, not in terms of finishing position, but in a greater field at the Open. He finished 17th. So Erik van Rooyen really does look like he's going to win something soon, and I think he can definitely contend in this field this week.
Okay, he's 33-1. Who else are you putting up, Joe?
And the other one, I'm throwing a bit of a dart, Abraham Anser, the Mexican, who makes his European Tour debut this week, but obviously he's been playing in
on the PGA Tour.
I do like him, yeah. And he won the Australian Open, was it PGA or the Open? I can't remember. At the Lakes in New South Wales. That's a coastal track, and won't be too dissimilar to what he's faced with this week. And, you know, he wasn't playing that well on the US Tour, but last time out of the Travelers Championship, he closed with a 7-under round to finish tied 8th. And his best finish of the year came in the CIMB Classic. And while that's not strictly a links test, the winner of that tournament was Mark Leishman, who's obviously a links lover himself. So it could be a sort of correlating course there, which I quite like.
Okay, is that it, or have you got
that's
anyone else?
Me,
that's
yeah.
It. Steve, rattle through. Who else are you going to go with apart from Tyrrell Hatton? Let's get him out of the way first. Not him again.
Thorbjørn Olesen. You're a big fan of Thorbjørn Olesen. Well, like Hatton, he showed a return to form last time out. He closed with a 65, a flawless 65 in the BMW International.
Flattering away.
Finished 10th. He's not a flatterer.
He's a massive flatterer.
How many European Tour titles has he won?
You're going to disarm me now, aren't you?
He's won 5 European Tour titles at the age of 29, which is a pretty good ratio. And he's got loads of bottle when he's in contention. He's one of those players that punters should follow because he either is terrible or if he gets a chance of winning, he takes it. And that's the sort of players you want to be backing in the outright markets. But he's got a superb links record. Dunhill Links runner-up in 2012, won the event in 2015. His maiden European Tour title came on a links-style course in the 2012 Sicilian Open. And in this event last year, he was 6th in the Irish Open. So yeah, Thorbjørn Olesen next best.
Three others at big prices.
Paul Waring. I mean, hardly anybody in this field knows this course and has positive course form to draw upon. But Waring, captained the Great Britain and Ireland team to victory there in the 2003 Jacques L'Eglise Trophy, a prestigious amateur team event. They crushed the continental Europeans. So he's going back there with fond memories, knows the course. He's a links natural. He's born in Birkenhead. Lots of good links courses around there. He made his Open debut as a pro at Birkdale, close to there, and finished 19th in that. And some recent links form as well. And the British Masters were played at Hillside in May, and Waring finished 6th in that. So I think Waring can go very well to a second European Tour title. A similar price, Marcus Kinholt. He won that British Masters at Hillside in May. Got a great links record. As an amateur, he was superb in links combat. He finished. He won the Livon Trophy in 2015 by 8 shots. Destroyed the field on a classic links course. And in the US Open last month, it was his maiden stateside major. Finished 32nd. Closed with a 66. Pebble Beach. I think Marcus Kinholt is only 22. Looks about.
That's all he is.
He's only 22. Wow. He looks even younger, but yeah, he's always been destined for the top. And I think this is the sort of place he can make a big impact. And then the final one, it was 400-1.
I've never heard of this character.
400-1. He was 800 on the exchanges. We actually tipped him for the Open. Actually, and you still haven't heard of him. Grant Forrest. I think I tipped him at 1,000 for the Open. Is that right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I tipped him for the Open. But yeah, I rate this fella. I rate him. He's a Scottish lad, another links natural. He's grown up playing links golf. His amateur record, he runner-up in the 2015 Amateur Championship at Carnoustie. Lost to Romain Langasque. He won the Scottish Amateur at Royal Dornoch in 2012. He won the St Andrews Links Trophy in 2014. So a fantastic links pedigree. Last season on the Challenge Tour, he finished runner-up 3 times. Got promotion to the European Tour. And he settled nicely on the European Tour. Finished 7th in the Mauritius Open early on, 6th in the Hassan Trophy, and last week at Valderrama, a debut at Valderrama. Debutants at Valderrama traditionally lambs to the slaughter. You know, you give him no chance there. Finished 37th. I was impressed with that. And yeah, he's going to a much more suitable track this week. Yeah, I thought Grant Forrest, big outsider, well worth, you know, 40-1 for top 10 finish.
Fantastic. Okay. A quick word on some of the market principles. Big Johnny Rahm, Joe, why have you passed him over?
Certainly can win, but I just thought 8-1 was short enough about, you know, a player who hasn't won that much recently. He keeps contending, but he hasn't got over the line, and you know, he will win again soon, but I can leave him at that price.
He seems a very nice man. I thought it was really nice towards Badizenhuit last week.
John Rahm is a decent character, yeah.
Can he play links golf course?
Yeah. He won this tournament in 2012, 24 under par at Port Stewart.
2012?
No, 2017. Did I say 2012? Sorry. Yeah, it's the studio. It's putting me off.
Getting back to the shed.
2017, he won 24 under par at Port Stewart. Yeah, he can definitely play links golf. And obviously in calm weather, he'd have a better chance, which he's going to get. So, yeah, he's hard to get away from John Rahm. But as Joe says, he's just too short a price, really.
Tommy Fleetwood,
again, is, you know, all the market leaders, you give him a chance, but they're not quite attractive enough. You know, Tommy Fleetwood, great links record, obvious credentials, but been a bit lacklustre of late, tinkering with equipment. He's still got lots of nightclubs in the bag. He's got to phase them out.
So you're going to pass on?
Going to pass on him.
Shane Lowry, Joe, could you give him a chance?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the one I could probably look most of at the market leaders is Matt Wallace, but I just think he's an absolute killer when he's in contention, isn't he? So, yeah, Shane Lowry, obvious chance, but the fact that he's Irish into his price is a bit there, I think.
Okay.
A lot of pressure on Lowry. I mean, he's the leading Irish hope, huge amounts of pressure, and he'd want it to be a bit harder, wouldn't he? I mean, he's not going to. If it was really windy and difficult, you'd give Lowry more of a chance. But if it becomes a bit of a putting competition, that's his weakness. I think it's a difficult one for Lowry. I agree with Joe. Actually, I think Wallace and Rahm probably the best of the of the market leaders.
I haven't seen you for ages because I don't get to see you when we're doing the podcast.
No. I'm always pulling faces.
You're
out,
now 40, aren't you? And your hairline
41,
remains.
No, 41.
Your hairline remains extremely unreceding, doesn't it? I've forgotten you've got like a Stephen Gerrard low hairline, haven't you? I'm very jealous of that.
That's kind of you to say. And my son, who's now like a month and a bit old, he's got the opposite. His hairline goes all the way back here. So. I've told the wife, if the Jeremy Kyle show gets resurrected, which it should, let's start the campaign now. It's a disgrace that it was put off the screen. If that comes back, I'm going to go and get a DNA test because his hair is completely different to mine.
Well, it's only a baby, isn't he?
David
O'Leary.
give him time to grow into it.
But, it'll grow. Anything else to add on the Irish Open, Joe, or are you all done?
No, I'm good.
Steve?
No, all done.
Can you tell me, there's a player I've been following recently, a Scottish lad called Robert McIntyre.
Yes, great chance.
Am I right to leave
a
chip on that number on the roulette
table? I think you should leave a chip on the roulette table. Yeah, he's finished second twice already this season. Fantastic rookie, seems to like links terrain. Very, very close to selection, actually, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had 10 players on the list, he was one of them.
Righty-ho, let's do the 3M Open. Next, it takes place in, what's MN, Minnesota? Yeah, Blaine, Minnesota. I don't know anything about Blaine, Minnesota. I don't think we've got any course form to go on, have we, Steve?
Not from the US Tour, but it has been played on the Champions Tour.
Okay, well, we'll come to that. I'm going to set the scene first so that everyone knows what's going on. We're the show of betting from Star Sports. Okay, here is how Star Sports bet on the 3M Open. Brooks Koepka is fav at 15-2 if you want each way bet, and it's a fifth to six. It's 10-1 Matsuyama and Jason Day, 14-1 Bryson DeChambeau. So there's a big four, and then with 25-1 Patrick Reed, 28 Joachim Niemann, 30 Tony Finau, 33 Keegan Bradley, Rory Sabatini, Victor Hovland, and 40 Barr. So not the deepest field here, Steve. Before we get the tips, just tell us about what kind of test it is.
Yeah, as you say, it's a US Tour debut, but it has been used on the Champions Tour, and the round bellies have absolutely destroyed it. There's been rounds of 60 there. Kenny Perry's just made merry. So I think we've got a very easy course. They've obviously tried to toughen it up for the US Tour arrival, but it's very hard to do. The fairways are really wide. The rough's sort of 3.5 inches, I think they said they're going to get it to. But I see this being a 20 under par minimum to win it. I think it's going to be similar to the Rocket Mortgage Classic last week. You know, similar area, similar score, winning score.
Well, that was the hallmark of that tournament. Obviously, it was shock winners and places, wasn't it? So could that continue as well, Steve?
Very much so. Yeah. My staking plan consists of five big prizes.
Number
one of whom is Wyndham Clark, who's been a player to follow for a long time. I really like Wyndham Clark, improving youngster. He appears now to have settled on the US Tour. He quickly got promoted from the Web.com Tour. He only took one season to get out of there. Finished 10th in Puerto Rico Open as soon as he switched to the US Tour. And then he led the Honda Classic for a long way. Really impressive in the Honda Classic. Ended up finished 7th. And, letting that tournament get away from him sort of affected him for a bit. He started missing a few cuts, but he's got going again now. He went to the Canadian Open Hamilton, really unsuitable course for him, missed the cut by a shot. But then his last two outings, he's finished 15th in the Travelers Championship and 17th in the Rocket Mortgage Classic last week. So Clarkey has found his game again. His last 10 competitive rounds, he's 23 under par. I see him as a player with massive potential. He's got immense power. He's got superb putting stroke. It's quite rare to get a player who hits it that far and is still got silky putting stroke. So he's got huge potential. And there's talk of three drivable par fours on this course. If they fiddle with the tees, there's going to be one drivable par four each of the days. But the organisers do have the potential to make it more than one on each day. So drivable par fours, he'll destroy the par fives. I think the course is made for Wyndham Clark. I think Nate Lashley was a maiden winner last week. I think Wyndham Clark's going to win this week, and I think the prices are
okay.
Fantabidozy.
Brilliant. Star Sports got 100. You might get even bigger if you shop around. Joe, who's your main fancy for the 3M?
My main fancy is Kevin Na, who's a recent winner on the PGA Tour. He won the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial, and that was on pure bent grass greens, which is what he's going to get here. There's only a couple of other tracks on the PGA Tour where the greens are
pure bent
grass.
It's a little bit more fiddly than this, though, isn't it?
It is indeed. But he's got three US Tour wins, and that includes the 2011 Shriners, where he shot 23 under, and that's the sort of score that's going to win this week, I think. And the Greenbrier last year, which was actually in this week as well. That slot is now occupied by the 3M, and he shot 19 under that time to win that. He's typically in an in-and-out form, which is the case with Kevin Na a lot of the time, but this is the sort of track where he does like, he should be able to shoot a low total and should contend, really. And you know, he's not the longest off the tee, but I certainly wouldn't worry about length for Kevin Na these days. And if it comes down to putting, there's probably not too many better players you'd like on your side.
He's a bit slow, isn't he?
He is a bit slow, but that shouldn't be too much of a problem.
Can't hold that against him, I suppose. All right, then. So we've got Wyndham Clark for Steve and Kevin Na for the champ. Who else are you going to go for, Steve? Someone else with Wyn in their name, I believe. You got Wyn.
Oh, wow, good spot. Yeah, very good spot. Yeah, I was right on the start. Adam Hadwin. Yeah, he's got a very short journey. Well, actually, he lives in the other side of Canada, but it's just over the Canadian border, Minnesota. So he'll have a lot of fans descending on him, and he feeds off that. He finished sixth in the Canadian Open a month ago. Enjoyed the crowd support there. Another good performance was in the USPGA in May. Finished 29th in the USPGA. I think the reason you got so much juice in the price this week, it's because he missed the cut in the Travelers Championship last time out, but he never plays well in that. His form figures are missed cut, 57-42 before he missed the cut again last week, but he missed a one-inch putt.
No way.
He missed a one-inch putt in the at the fifth hole of round two. Ow. So a real gut buster, just a whiff. You know, they don't just casually go like that. He missed the ball.
And that
He missed the ball, and that counted as a stroke. Yeah. And so he can't recover from that. He made a double bogey there, missed the cut by a couple of shots. And as I say, never plays well in the Travelers. So ignore that. And, you know, the form was coming good for Hadwin. And, you know, he's actually a great putter. He misses one-inch putts, but he's actually a superb putter traditionally. His game's in good order. You're going to have to go really, really low to win this week. Hadwin's not scared of that. He shot 59 once on the US Tour in the Career Builder Challenge. So, you know, he's a proven champion. 2017 Valspar champion. President's Cup player. Yeah, Adam Hadwin is the shortest price I'm tipping this week. He's
round about 50 to 1, isn't he? So who are the other three you're going to
And then three more bigger prices. Brian Harman. Going to give Brian Harman another go. Two of his best performances came in the Midwest. We're in the Midwest this week. He shot 22 under par to win the 2014 John Deere Classic in nearby Illinois. That's a similar sort of vibe to this tournament. He was second behind Brooks Koepka in the 2017 US Open at Wisconsin. Great putter, showing signs of life. Closed with 366s in the Travelers Championship, finished eighth. So Brian Harman, a bit of a flyer, but I'm giving him a chance at 80 to 1. And then two more at massive prices. Peter Uhlein, you're talking about my love for Thorbjørn Olesen. I'm sure Peter Uhlein will end his career with a mantelpiece full of trophies, but it's same age, I think, as Thorbjørn Olesen. Former world number one amateur, US amateur champion, carefree character who hasn't really made the most of his talent, but I think it'll come. He won a Web.com Tour event in the Midwest in 2017, and in May, which is not a long time ago, you know, we only just come into July. In May, he was fantastic. He finished fifth in the Byron Nelson, 13th at Colonial. Had a quiet spell since, but I think Peter Uhlein could get going. I think this is the sort of course he'll enjoy. And then the final one is Denny McCarthy. I think you say he's in Grange Hill or something, don't you?
Yeah, I always had him down as a Grange Hill character.
Denny McCarthy, he's moved on from Grange Hill. He's now the number one ranked putter on the US Tour. So this is going to be a bit of a putting competition because the course is so easy. McCarthy can get to those super low totals. He won the Web.com Tour Championship by four shots in September, 23 under par. Since then, he settled nicely on the US Tour, 7th in the Sanderson Farms, 15th in the Shriners Open, 9th in the Valspar, and last week in the Rocket Mortgage, which, as I say, similar sort of feel to this week. He shot four sub-70 rounds, finished 21st. So Denny McCarthy, once that flat stick starts purring, you watch him go.
Fantastic. Okay, Joe, as well as Kevin Na, who else are you putting up?
Two more. I've got... I've got two web.com tour grads, or the Corn Ferry Tour.
You can't
called
call
now,
it
yeah.
web.com. I thought you
was it now?
The Corn Ferry Tour.
Yeah.
What, corn as in the vegetarian food, or the an ear of corn?
Well, Corn Ferry is a some sort of management company, isn't it? Sports management company.
Oh, is it?
I think they're, if you like sack someone, they can
one with a K.
find you a replacement sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The first one's Sung Jae Im, the Korean sensation. Who
you won't need much ink to write your selections on. No. Na and Im.
No. The last one's a five-letter surname. So,
use the Ben shop, save on the pens.
Yeah. He's played 28 events this season, so he's turned out a lot. And he's got six top tens, and he's pretty consistent. More often than not, he's making cuts if he's not contending. And he's just been superb since graduating. And it's a matter of time until he wins something as well. And recent form's good, 7th in Canada and 21st in both the Travelers and the Rocket Mortgage. Quite surprisingly, there's quite a lot of water on this course, actually. I think there's water on 14 of the holes. And he played well at the Arnold Palmer, so it might be quite similar to some of the Florida tracks. And finished tied third
designed
there.
By so. Arnold Palmer, isn't it? Design, yeah. The course designed by Arnold,
Arnold Palmer. Design course, and yeah, he was tied third. That was his best finish of the season, I think. And so Sung Jae Im's one I like. The other one is Sepp Straker, who's really, really, really starting to hit form. And closed out his best finish of the season at the Rocket Mortgage last week when he finished 11th, finishing with a 67 as well. And he hits it a long way, this guy, and really like him, actually. And now, having missed a free cuts about sort of April time, he's suddenly started playing well again, and yeah, played well at the US Open as well. And yeah, as I say, hits the ball a long way, and this is the sort of track where if you can hit it a long way, then suddenly the holes get a lot easier.
Why did you go, yeah?
Just because I like Sepp Straka, and I was very close to selection for me. I like him and Straka, they're both on my shortlist. I'm not so keen on Nahr, but I like him and Straka.
Okay, let's just look at the front four then. What have you got against Brooks Koepka this week, Steve?
Brooks Koepka, I mean, wow, it's motivation. It's just got to the stage now. It's almost got to the stage now. If you're a bookmaker, if you're looking at him for a major with all the best players in the world, or an easy event with a load of Muppets, what do you make him a shorter price for the major than you do for the Muppets?
It's about the same price he was.
He's getting to that stage where you've got to make that decision, because he's said it himself. He can only get his juices flowing for the big events. And his major record's fantastic. Like in the US Open, last major in the US Open, he finished runner-up. He was absolutely awesome at times. But either side of that, he played in regulation US Tour Fair 50th and 57th. Just cannot get motivated for it. So I look at that price and I just think you can't guarantee motivation. Why would you pile in at that price?
Are you equally put off by almost single-figure prices for Matsuyama, Joe?
Yeah, well, the thing about Matsuyama is there's only a matter of time before he goes and wins again. But, you know, he's been going off with these short prices and not quite getting it done. I just think he's very close, but he's not quite back to his absolute best. And he's a player who I love, and I know Steve loves as well. But
yeah, he's such a frustrating player to back sometimes. Like last week, he was right in the mix. If you took Lashley out of it, Matsuyama was in with a big chance. But he just started missing short putts again over the weekend, a couple of four-footers. Yeah, you know, if you're following it on the app and you see Matsuyama's got a four-footer or a three-footer, I think he missed a three-footer last week, you're like thinking, oh, yeah, any other player, you'd say three-footer and you start celebrating the birdie or the whatever. With Matsuyama, you can't have that. And, you know, ball striking, there's hardly anyone better than him. But, you know, this week, this track is easy and I think you need to be putting well. So I don't think, of the market leaders, Jason Day's probably the one.
Well, let's talk about him. I mean, 10-1, a player with, you know, all those illnesses and ailments and all that.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Jason Day is he's now got Steve Williams on his bag. You've been following that.
So I don't care.
I don't care. I think it may well end up backfiring because everyone's going on about, oh, Steve Williams making him practice more. Well, yeah, this is the most brittle golfer in the world. He's going to practice and he's going to end up...
He carries a bloody golf bag around. He's not a physio, well,
he seems to be like a mentor. Jason Day seems a sort of very needy man. He needs someone mentor him. Like his previous caddy was basically his coach. Still is his coach, I think.
He wants a bit tougher than this as well, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, I cannot be backing Jason Day at those sort of prices when you know that he can just, it's just flimsy body, isn't it? Not like us, not like, you know, nothing's going to go wrong when you're carrying a bit of chunk.
And the other one then is DeChambeau, Joe. I mean, you know, he's 14s, which on the form he showed around the turn of the year, you'd say yes, please. But, I mean, he's not done a whole heap lately. Has he eighth on his last start? But it's not that
exciting. Yeah, that's it. He hasn't been his absolute best either, so I'm quite happy to leave him.
So we're going to shun the front four, lads.
I think it could be a bit like last week where someone comes out of the blue and shoots a low round.
What about our old mate, the Greyhound, Cameron Champion?
Oh, my word, it was nice to see him. Really nice to see, yeah, because he had that back problem which derailed him, didn't he?
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. The form all stemmed from a back problem, then the form
disappeared. He went to Charlie Lister's and Charlie sorted him out. Didn't he?
Yeah, had a few problems with one of his hocks. Yeah, it was so nice to see Cameron Champ. Yeah, 28, he went to the turn in 28, didn't he, last week?
Yeah.
I still got a huge amount of faith in Cameron Champ, but unfortunately went wrong over the weekend last week. But you wouldn't rule him out.
No, absolutely not. Okay then, chaps, let's get the solemn, straightforward roundup. So pens and papers, if you managed to miss what the lads said before, they're going to read out very succinctly for you who they fancy this week.
Which one of these is it?
Don't worry about that, mate.
There's so much going on over there. Like cans of WD-40.
I'll do the camera stuff. Just speak. Right then, the European Tour is at La Hinch for the Irish Open. Steve Palmer, your selections are?
Tyrrell Hatton, Thorbjørn Olesen, Paul Waring, Marcus Kinholt, and Grant Forrest.
And Joe Champion, who are your fancies for the Irish Open?
Danny Willett, Erik van Rooyen, and Abraham Anser.
And then in America, we've got the 3M Open. Steve, your selections are?
Wyndham Clark, Adam Hadwin, Brian Harman, Peter Uhlein, And Denny McCarthy.
It's actually camera three by the can of WD-40.
I thought it might be the high one.
And Joe?
Kevin Na, Sung Jae-im and Sepp Straka.
Okay, lovely stuff. Anything else you want to add this week, lads?
No, just...
Oh, yeah, bet of the week.
Bet of the week.
If you only had one golf bet, who's it going to be?
Danny Willett.
Danny Willett and Steve?
Strong bet. Tyrrell Hatton, Wyndham Clark, each way double.
Yeah, have you done it?
Yeah, I've done it, yeah.
We don't talk about figures anymore, but presumably it'd be a nice win, would it?
Well, yeah, it would make me level for the year.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. So upcoming, next week we've got the Scottish Open. Where's that this year?
We've got a new one. What's it called? Come on, Joe.
I've read it this morning as well.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Is it a Lynx or an Inland?
Yeah, Lynx. Yes,
they're all going to be Lynx season.
Now. We've got a real feast because we've already had that British
Don't call it a feast. I don't like Lynx.
Oh, you don't like Lynx? You don't like Lynx? It's Lynx all the way now.
Is it building a new Lynx course? I thought Lynx courses were all...
No, it's not. Sorry, it's not a new Lynx course. That's no, it's just one they haven't used. They haven't used it, have they?
Okay, anyway,
I'm disgusted with myself.
Don't worry about it. We've got the Scottish Open next week and we've got the John Deere Classic. You know where that is, don't you?
I know where that is, yeah. It's in Illinois, yeah, we know where that is. Brian Armour might produce
another. Oh, really?
Deer Run.
It's a shame you're not back in. I've enjoyed having you in the studio. Can you not come in every week?
It's a long way, isn't it?
Yeah, it took 2.5 hours on the train, didn't it?
Yeah. No, it is nice. I have enjoyed it. It's a lot easier because you can't see me. You don't know what's going on. Yeah,
exactly.
This may be the future, but it's like...
Can't I say it's a bit more often than you do? Yeah?
Okay, yeah.
New office. It's all nice. We're in the
studio. No, I'm impressed. Good air conditioning.
Okay, what have you got lined up between now and next week, Joe? You're still detoxifying?
I'm going to Wimbledon on Friday.
Oh, yeah? Yep. Lovely.
Get in the queue.
Glastonbury, Wimbledon. I'm just in the
It's just a lot of queuing there, isn't it?
On his wages as well.
On his wages, yeah. He must have a trust fund.
Yeah, he must. And Steve, what have you got lined up? Anything
exciting? I'll be in the shed.
Are you doing the hard yards with little
27 days in a row. I don't want to get the violin out. I'm writing about golf. There's a lot worse jobs out there. Like, I was having this chat with my mate the other day. You don't want to be a paramedic. You don't want to be... there's a lot of people who do proper jobs. So I'm not complaining. But I will be in the shed.
Beavering away.
Writing about golf.
Is it well?
We'll find the winner of the Open Championship.
We
must find the winner of the Open Championship. We will find the winner of the Open Championship.
Yeah? Mm. Port Rush, isn't it?
Royal Port Rush.
And you're not going this year, are you?
No, I'm sorry.
With the baby. And also, the accommodation was a massive...
Yeah, that was the problem we had. But
our finance director was never going to sign.
No, that's it. No, we'll get back there the following year.
Chaps, thank you very much. It's been lovely to have you in the studio. Thank you very much indeed, champ. I'm glad you survived Glasgow. So like I say, we're back next week with another Golf Postcast. In between times, I am back with G-Rod and Keith Melrose to preview a load of great racing over the weekend, including Steve.
Is it the Grand National?
It's the Coral Eclipse at Sandown. So yeah, looking forward to that. Until next time, goodbye. Give them the horn!